If you guys have your Bibles, we can turn to Matthew chapter 8, 5 through 13. It feels weird going through that many verses at one time, but it's good. It's a story. And it's a story that Jesus plays the main part in, but there's other people who play a part in it. So let us come this morning. And one of the things that we talk about is authority in this scripture. So let's just come under the authority of God's word. Let him speak to us through this. And even as I'm preaching, if God brings to your heart or mind something other from this text, jot it down, write it down. Don't forget what the Lord is trying to teach you today. So, Jesus, we come before you, and Lord, we are in Matthew 8, chapter 5 through 13. Lord, we want you to be our authority. Lord, we want to have the faith of this centurion that came before you. Lord, we want to not be those of little faith, but those of great faith. And so, Lord, I pray that you will speak to us. I pray that we may rely on you, that we may rest on you, and that you may have full authority in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 13. When he, that being Jesus, had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And I say to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. And in that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed that very moment. Okay, I love this text, amen. It's so beautiful. It's such a cool and crazy. There's so much in there, especially if you know the Old Testament as well as the New and how this is following it. There's so much packed in this one little section of scripture. But I think one of the questions it begs for us is, who is authority in your life? Who is authority in your life? Or we could ask, what is in authority in your life? Because oftentimes it's not a who, sometimes it's a what is in authority. So for younger ones, your parents maybe, right? Your parents are in authority, I can say that while preaching. But for those who are older, it kind of gets a little more complicated, doesn't it? Like, who is in authority in your life? Okay, who is the one that we obey? Or what is the one that we obey? If money asks us to do something, are we doing that? Are we obeying what money would have us do? What about if our fears tell us, don't do this, don't do that, stay at home, close your doors, lock your doors, all this? Are we obeying that fear? Is it yourself, your own desires? Is it like, I just want to do this today, and I'm just going to obey that? Or some of us just go with the flow. Like, it's almost like the wind is an authority. We're just like, okay, well, we're just going to go, come and go, and see what happens. And then some of us are so stubborn that we can't be moved at all. It's almost like a rock is our authority, just a big rock is our authority, and not the rock that Jesus is built on, but our own stubbornness and our own hard-heartedness. And so I would ask us again, who or what is the authority in our lives? So my prayer is that we all make Jesus the authority in our lives. Amen. That we may put him, we talked about this week, righteousness, and being found in Jesus' righteousness is being found in the proper place with him, so that we may allow Jesus the proper place in our lives, and that we may allow ourselves to yield to Jesus in all things, so that we may listen, and in listening, we obey. So authority is a big deal in Matthew. This isn't the first time it's come up. It won't be the last time it's come up either. Coming out of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew points out that Jesus taught as one who had authority. There's the word that we have there. And now we see the actions of the authority in Jesus, and we will see them over and over and over again. So here we see it over, we just saw it in over the disease of leprosy. Now this centurion's servant is suffering from paralysis of some sort or kind, and we see Jesus have authority over paralysis. Right? And so we come here and we will see that Jesus has authority over death itself, doesn't he? As well as the authority over sin, the authority over angels, the authority over all things has been given to Jesus. But the one thing I love about Jesus is he isn't a dictator. He doesn't use the power like you or I would, or as we've seen throughout history, as mankind does. So we need to receive this authority that Jesus has by faith. We believe that Jesus is in authority. We say, we sing, we pray to the name of King Jesus, right? We believe that he is king. And even though we call him king, if we look at the world, it doesn't appear to be under anybody's authority. It kind of appears to be in chaos, doesn't it? It would be really easy for us to live in fear. And so there's so much to be fearful of just on the surface, right? Wars, right? Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes. We live on a fault line, right? What about fear coming into this political season? Like, oh my gosh, are these our candidates really? Like, is this all we have? And then what is America coming to? What is being made of our great nation? What about fearful of cancer? Like, that's a real fear that people have, or death in general, or car accidents, whatever it may be. And then some of us, like, have fears over people's opinions, right? Like, we're really submit ourselves to those things, or the lack of retirement account, or the lack of new tires for the van, or whatever it may be. That might be personal. That might be a little too personal there. But whatever it may be, we sometimes don't see Jesus' authority in all things. But in order to receive and live by Jesus' authority, you know what we need? Great faith. We need great faith. We need to believe and then live out our faith in Jesus' authority, that he has all things, that he's got it covered, which, if we're honest, can be confusing in a world that doesn't appear to be under his rule all the time, right? When we live under authority, we are listening. We are waiting to hear, go there, do this, stay there, be at rest. We are searching for the direction that God has for us in any given moment. It might not always be go, right? It might be pray. It might be, no, I have that reserved for someone else. Just pray that God will provide for this. It may be to stay. It may be to be repent. You want to do that because X, Y, Z, and I just need you to repent. Jesus may ask, he might ask difficult things of us, like humility in a time when we just want to say that we're right and kind of hold steadfast in that. Something that might not bring us the glory that we desire. We might have to do something thankless. And if we are under his authority, you know what we do? We do it. And we try and get our heart to do that with joy. Because when we have authority, or when authority is over us, you know what has to be done? It has to be assumed. It has to be taken by faith. So you will yield to what you believe has authority in life. So I'll say it this way. If a police officer is behind you as you are driving, I'd imagine, I'm not saying that everybody does this, but I'd imagine you are more aware of your speed. You're more aware of your turn signals. You're more aware of your brake lights working or not working. You're more aware of all this. And by the way, this is right and good, right? And as you are yielding to the rules and the assuming of the officer's authority to enforce the rules of the road, which we know, but we don't always know. But when a cop comes around, we kind of are more heightened to them, right? You are assuming that the officer behind you has jurisdictional rights as you yield to their authority. Our actions will dictate what we believe. And so we do that. You are taking a step in faith that the person driving the police car behind you is who they say they are. They didn't steal it, right? That they are who they say they are. And that if you or anyone else does something illegal, that they will attempt to stop them so as to create a nice traffic flow. And more often than not, we yield because we don't want to come under that authority, right? Like, we just don't. We obey because, in all honesty, that is the proper response to legitimate authority, right? If a boss tells us to do something, what do? We do that thing. There is not authority on heaven and earth that is more legitimate than Jesus. Amen? We need to come to this in faith. So when we become Christians, when we give our lives to Jesus, you know what we're doing? We now serve in a new kingdom and its king, and that being Jesus. Jesus' authority isn't just like law authority, get tickets, or check off the sins and not sins that you're doing. Jesus' authority is a royal authority. He has the power of the king because he is king. Because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in this, our King Jesus has the ethical and, in a way, legal right over our lives as king. He can say, go, do this. He can say, come here, I want you to do this. He can say, repent, and we go, okay, I'm going to repent. And it goes beyond this right that Jesus has. It goes beyond his ability. He has all the ability in the world. It is his right to serve us and lead us in this way. So we can recognize the authority of Jesus just like this soldier did. It's one of the most beautiful pictures of recognition of authority given to us in Scripture. Jesus didn't use force. He isn't saying, bow before me, centurion. No, this centurion comes before him because he recognizes the authority that Jesus had. This centurion comes, he's humble. And then Jesus uses his authority in all its privileges that Jesus has to save, to heal, to save us even from Satan, save us from sin, save us from death. One of my favorite psalms is like, Lord, we don't even know what you're saving us from. Like, there's so much stuff that he shields us from. We don't want outer darkness, do we? We don't want to be in a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't. I can speak for myself. I don't. And Jesus will use his authority to go out of his way, even go to the cross, to save us from that fate. This is a beautiful thing. He even told us that he could have called down legions of angels to prevent that from happening, to come to his side. And yet, you know what he didn't do? That. He went to the cross for us because his rule and his ways are different. They're different than the world we live in. And Jesus' authority flowed not from his possessions or his positions, but from his submission. So even in his authority, we can learn from Jesus. Jesus submitted himself perfectly to the will of his Father. Not only his will, but his way that Jesus had for him. And Jesus demonstrates his authority all the time in Scriptures. And he wants to continue to demonstrate it in your life, even today. Amen? I love that Jesus has authority over diseases. I love that. Because we can come and we can ask in Jesus' name, please heal this disease over ailments, even just simple sicknesses like colds or anything like that. Jesus even has authority over creation, and he demonstrates it from time to time, right? As the waves are stilled, as the storm is calmed, Jesus even has the authority to allow the sparrows to find food, and the lilies are made beautiful at his command and by their obedience, because Jesus has authority. And he uses that authority, that cosmic authority, to set us free from the slavery to lesser or false authorities in our lives. Jesus, this is one thing I was thinking about this week. Jesus was tempted by Satan with fake authority. fake authority. So earlier in Matthew 4, verses 8 through 10, after Jesus was baptized, he went into the desert and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And you know what happened after that? Satan came to him. He hadn't eaten yet. He was hungry. He was probably lost a little bit of weight. He's in the desert. And again, this is what Matthew 4, 8, and 10, which we've already gone over, says. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And Satan said to him, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Here, Satan's saying, hey, I'll give you authority over it all. And Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then after that, you know what happened? Satan disappeared because Satan had to obey him. And the angels came and ministered to Jesus. But the beautiful thing is, Jesus knew where real authority lies, and he knows where it doesn't lie. He knows that it doesn't come from Satan. He knows Satan's lies and his ways, and he knows that in this plan that Jesus has, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord. And Jesus knew that it would not happen in the way that Satan was trying to tempt him with this false authority. But it would come from authority that is submitted and given by his good and gracious Father. Jesus was tempted by false authority. And you know what he did? He even defeated that for us. It's beautiful, right? Let us learn to repent from the false authorities that we have in our lives that Jesus gave us freedom from and live in the authority of that freedom that Jesus gives us. Faith in Jesus' authority goes beyond believing. It's in his actions as well, and it applies the authority that is claimed, that is thought about, to every situation and activity. Here in this scripture today, we can see this man of great faith yielding himself to Jesus. I want us to take just a look at this man for a minute. So he was a Roman centurion, right? So he was a leader of a certain amount of men. He was not only an outsider in this region, but he was an enemy. He was an enemy. So he was an occupying force that everybody that wanted the promised one of God, the Messiah, they wanted this Messiah to overthrow that guy, right? And then this guy comes to Jesus. This man had military might and power. He had the governor behind him and supporting him. He would have been known and yielded to. Maybe not out of love, but out of, okay, I don't want him to kill me or my parents or whatever, or harm anybody in my family. He would have been despised by the people of Capernaum. He would have been seen as an enemy who the people lived there, and they would love it if he and his troops just went away for good. Just get out of here. In these verses before Jesus, in the verses before this, Jesus touched someone who had leprosy, an absolute outcast. He touched him and made him clean. And now we see Jesus heal the servant of an enemy. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what Jesus does. The original people who lived in Capernaum while this happened probably couldn't have been happy with the fact that Jesus even entertained company with this person, let alone healed him. When this was written and presented a little bit later, the Romans were no more loved at that time. They were probably hated even more. So the first readers of this would be like, oh, I see the Messiah. Yep. He's doing all these things that the Lord promised. Matthew's showing us in the Old Testament, doing all these great things. And then all of a sudden we get here. Whoa, Jesus touched an unclean man. What is this? That's not right. Whoa, Jesus healed this Roman centurion. These guys, even these guys. And this is what Jesus did. And the Roman rule had only tightened its grip over the Jewish people since Jesus to the time that Matthew would have been written and presented. In this book of Matthew, it is followed up in this section by Jesus marveling at this man, his very enemy who has great faith in the things that God can do, greater faith even than the chosen people of God. Ooh, this is humbling, isn't it? Jesus And then Jesus, and then as recorded in Matthew, includes this man. He includes this enemy. And you know what he does? He disincludes the people who, through the whole of the Old Testament, that are said, chosen people, chosen people. He says, nope, there's going to be more people that are sitting at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven that are like this Roman centurion that came to him in faith than those who were sons by birthright. It's unbelievable, these words of Jesus. This man had faith that those who should have the faith don't have. So this man had faith, and those who have the heritage or lineage don't have this faith. This should remind us, as we're in church, we're like, oh, well, we're the good ones, right? We're Christians. We come to church. We serve, and we're trying to do all these things in Jesus' name. This should just let us know to remain humble. These words are scandalous, even especially for those who first heard them and read them. Jesus is saying that he can save even the Romans. Even the Romans, even those who are believed to hate God, can have faith in Jesus. This is a humbling fact. Jesus includes far more people than the religious establishment would allow. I believe that has always been the case, right? It's always been the case. And so this should humble us even today. In verse 7, we have Hadassah, will you go back to the other screen? In verse 7, we have in here, Jesus is saying, I will come and heal. Okay, so we just had Jesus touch a leper, right? Which is forbidden. Now Jesus is saying, I'm going to come to your house, enemy of my people. I'm going to come to your house. Jesus, as he offers to go to this man's house, it's significant. A home is where you dwell. Right? Psalms 1 says, don't sit with these people. Don't walk with them. Don't stand in their way. And yet Jesus says, I'm going to go to this man's house, the home of an enemy and an outsider. A good Jew would never visit this man's home. Jesus is doing away even with racism. Amen? This is kind of cool. It's a beautiful little picture. Jesus is like, no, this man's going to be included in my kingdom. He's willing to go to the man of this home's the home of this man who is of another race, and though many in the Jewish people would have thought he was a lesser race even. So it's a beautiful thing. But this verse is also debated by scholars. Many believe that Jesus was asking this man a question. Should I come to your home and heal him? Or do you want me to come over and heal him? That kind of term, instead of I will come over, like declarative, it's more of a question. And this man, in his great faith, answers this question like this. I'm not worthy. Only say the word. He knew what authority looked like, and he knew that Jesus had this authority because this man had great faith. He had great faith. Faith that I hope that we might have in the authority of Jesus. Amen. I remember this winter I was praying for one of my friends, and they were in a real dark place. And I emailed them and I said, you know, I believe I have the authority in Jesus' name to command you to come out of this darkness and walk in the light. Well, that person, I took them to rehab this week and I told them that. And it was interesting because I was like, I don't know if I have that arrogance to command that, like I did in the email. It was like, I guess, Paul, when he's like, I was gentle with you in words when I was with you, but in writing I was not so much, maybe. But it really got me contemplating the authority that we have in Jesus, because we do have authority in Jesus' name. We are Christ ambassadors here on earth. We're his representatives. And we don't use his name and authority to get what we want. Well, if you just pray for it in Jesus' name, you're just going to get what you want. But we do pray in Jesus' name, don't we? We do ask in Jesus' name. We do submit to Jesus' name. And we get to be his ambassadors here on earth. So this is one thing that I want to challenge us with. Let us wrestle with what it means to, one, believe in the authority of Jesus. Two, to allow Jesus to have that authority in our lives, which takes a lot of faith. And then three, to act in the authority that he gives us in his name. It's not easy. I pray that we may get to see mighty things in Jesus' name. Amen? I want to see it. I want to see, like, Jesus just, oh, go, he'll be healed. I want to see these things. Jesus says that this man has great faith. You know what's interesting? Later in this chapter, or I believe it's either chapter at the end of chapter 8 or chapter 9, Jesus contrasts this, saying to his disciples, oh, you of little faith. Made me wonder when he said this, I wonder if that man was in the boat and Jesus said, come to me, if he'd get out and be like, okay, and not be like Peter where he doubted. Because that was when he said, hey, you of little faith. Jesus had the authority, and this man knew it, and he had great faith. I pray that we may trust in the authority that Jesus had, that we may not only trust in it, that we may yield to it, submitting to Jesus in all things, all ways, all our thoughts, and all our deeds. I pray that we may listen and obey, and that we may trust and obey, for there's no other way. I pray that we may be known as great men and women of faith, that we will be a people of faith, people who believe that Jesus can do great things, even greater things than what we've seen up to this point. And I pray that we might not be like those of little faith. So, Jesus, please grow our faith. Father, we come before you and we ask that you will grow our faith. Lord, we want to have great faith. Lord, I pray that we may submit to your will and your way. I pray that, Lord, we will yield to your authority, that, Lord, we will come before you and that we will just know that you are our King, that we will believe in your authority, allow us to have that authority in our lives, and then act in the authority that you give us in your name. In Jesus' name, amen.